Let me put this cigarette out and then we'll crack on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 216 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Oh, yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. You know when you daydream, it's anonymous. I was just picturing white butterflies, an overgrown Eden, and driftwood figures.
That's definitely the worst one you've ever done so far. We're 216 episodes in and you've just ruined this one before we got started. Hadn't guessed, oh, go on. You're not still going, you?
Is it all gone wrong? It's all gone wrong.
Fucking hell. In case you hadn't guessed from those awful, awful, awful puns, great song titles, just awfully shoved in together by Morgan. This week's guest is Dave McPherson of In Me and Solo Project and all-round musical talent fame.
Yes, about time, really. This is one that's got away from us, but it's worth the wait. Dave McPherson and In Me as a unit are not only veterans or pioneers to this industry, but a hero to a lot of people who grew up in that early 2000s British emo alternative scenes. He's someone who's never been shy to graft for his passion, whether it be with the band or his several solo albums, faced a lot of extreme highs and lows within the music industry, mental health. He's overcome a lot. In Me are in a really great space at the moment, always touring, and we're going to be talking about absolutely everything throughout this conversation. But Sean, you're a prime example of someone who lived through those early 2000s bands.
You basically just said to me, Sean, you were alive with the dinosaurs, right? You just said, Sean, hey, Sean, I wasn't switched on function-wise when you were a child. Yes, I saw the rise of In Me, and they were genuinely bloody everywhere. They were everywhere, from all of the TV channels to all of the rock publications. I just remember seeing them everywhere. I was lucky enough to be invited along by guitarist John O'Keefe not long ago when they played Swansea, and had a great time. And it was good to see them. And they were the best I've ever seen them, I think.
Ooh.
But yes, so thank you very much to John for sorting that out. And yeah, we mentioned John in this episode. It's a fucking great story. So if you're a fan of a band, any band, you probably want to keep listening.
Very vague, but very intriguing at the same time. I like it. But no, the impact Dave and Amir has had and continues to have on people is outstanding. And throughout, we're going to be talking about evolving as a songwriter, some of his personal journeys, learning to love some of the older material, and the fact that this month, it's the 20th anniversary of their debut album, Woo-hoo! Overgrown Eden. There's some great insights into weird experiences and situations he's gotten himself into. And really, we just have a laugh of everything. So if you'd like to listen to your musical heroes, just have a little bit of a nice chat. This is the place for you. And before we get into it, just a reminder, if you enjoy what me and Sean do and you want to continue supporting this podcast throughout 2023, please go and check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/sapnin. Not only is there loads of extra content over there, but you get included into a wonderful community of people who are just the best. They support us, they support each other, they meet up, they go to gigs, festivals, all sorts. And you can be a part of the family too at patreon.com/sapnin. But without any further ado, this is the wonderful Dave McPherson of In Me on episode 216 of Sapnin Podcast.
Yes! Go on, fucking Dave, boy. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Top chap.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sapnin.
Yes!
This week's guest is singer, songwriter, solo artist, and UK metal, rock, fucking anything legend, Dave McPherson of Dave McPherson and In Me!
Hey.
Yes!
Hey! Am I swearing? Are we swearing?
You can fucking swear. What you like,
say whatever you want. Yeah. Say whatever you want.
Effing hell.
Do you know what? It would have been perfect if you'd gone, oh, can we swear? And I said yes, and you went, all right, fuck off. And then went, see you pair of twats later. Yeah, but how have you been, Dave?
I'm okay. Yeah, surviving, existing. Ups and downs.
Well, yeah, I know a big thing about them. We were previously meant to do this a week ago, and 2 minutes before we were meant to record, I had a breakdown, so that was fun. But so I appreciate you being here now. Thank you very much for that.
Bless you. My sweetest, deepest condolences.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. But yeah, how was tour?
Tour was amazing. It was a good time. We had a sweet time on the whole tour. I just get to tour with exceptional musicians that are my best friends. So can't really complain.
Yeah. It seems like it was a good end to 2022 and transitioning into the new year. Big tour like that around the UK with some old friends as well. So I'm sure it's kind of set up a lot of things for In Me and just music now for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think it was like 2020 was January was our last tour before that. So it was just nice, just good fun. I can't complain.
How many times have you toured with Raging Speed on now?
Just the once.
Was there? Oh, I thought you would have done a few. I thought, like, you might have, back in the day, you might have done a few.
No. I remember Rage of Speed on back in the day, Kerrang. It might have even been a cassette.
Yeah, for anybody listening who doesn't know what a cassette is. No.
I remember Thumper. But yeah, it's nice. And also, Andy is the bassist of 100 Reasons as well. So I've known the guys before. I've just bumped into them and whatnot, and Gordon runs a van company. We hit it off because we're completely different bands. musically, like, they're crazy. They are nuts.
They've always been known as that, though, haven't they? Like, they've always kind of been, like, known as the wild partying band, I guess.
Yep. There's a lot of Jaeger and bourbon. But they're sweethearts. I dig it. We don't play that sort of music. Like, we're a lot more melodic. And they're a lot more screamy. But apparently, I might be singing on one of their songs for the new album. So,
ooh, nice.
They asked me, and I said a definite yes straight away. So, why the devil not?
But there we go. There's a little exclusive there. But Dave, there's so much we want to kind of talk about throughout this conversation. But before we really get into things, one thing I did notice is that you often like self-describe yourself as a music idiot creature that has his moments. Is that really just a good ethos of you and your career and everything you've done? Because you love just to make music out there and really fulfill a lot of passions.
I guess there's self-damnation there. I love music, but then I also do other things. I like to write music. I like to write lyrics. I like to write riffs. I've been in the band for 27 years, so.
Mad, isn't it, when you think about it? Like,
yeah, I'm 40, and I'm the only original member, but it's just my lifeblood, really, yeah. I suppose.
You don't feel 40, obviously.
No, I feel like I'm about 18. Well, physically, you know, it's not the years, honey, it's the mileage. but yeah, I still feel like I've got a little bit of a kid at my heart.
Yeah. Well, I was reading the other day about, like, when people in bands get older, they seem to feel the age when they either fell in love with it or were, like, most famous in their bands or whatever. And I was like, I feel about 23, so that probably makes sense. Like, that's probably the year the Blackout took off. And I literally, I never grew up. I think I felt like I never needed to grow up. I was like, whoa, I can be singing this song about being children of the night forever.
maybe I've matured in that sense. Like, I think my lyrics are a lot more mature. That's just life experience. But I do go to work and go, oh my God, I could be your dad.
Yeah. That's the weird thing now. It's like I'm meeting bands now. And out playing, and they're like, oh yeah, man, I fucking grew up on the Blackout's fucking third album. And I'm like, grew up? That's fucking disgusting. What do you mean you grew up on it? And they're like, oh yeah, man, fucking, yeah, tell us about playing with these bands. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm an old man to these children.
Well, this year is the 20th anniversary of our debut album, Overgrown Eden. Yeah, so I get to be a teenager all over again. Be 19.
Yeah. Is it quite crazy when you hear statistics like that now, to know that you've been doing it for this long and albums are having anniversaries and seeing all the bands really you grew up with kind of breaking up, getting back together and everything? I'm sure it's like a whirlwind of emotions when you get to realize how far along this has all come.
It's nuts. Like, my life today is completely different to what it was, and the music industry has changed so much. But I've toured with Nickelback. I chose Biffy Clyro. I chose Biffy Clyro to support us.
That's mad, isn't it?
They're yet to return the favour.
Yes. Well, Simon, if you're listening, he's been on before.
And Main Stage, Reading, Leeds, like Download. They were mad times. Sharing a stage with Iron Maiden and Linkin Park, and yeah, pretty cool.
I love it. I want to get into all this, but really, I know this is kind of an open-ended question probably in many ways, but in the a band where you've been through so much ups and downs, obviously you started quite young and got signed and there's all that, but when you look at your whole journey, do you feel like you, in some weird way, have really been able to appreciate different aspects of the music industry because you've seen what it's really like at the highs and the lows, and be able to be a signed band, an independent band, playing festivals, supporting everyone, doing your home headline shows. I mean, when you get a chance like this to kind of step back from it and just think back at the memories, it is quite a unique look at the industry in me seem to have had.
Well, I mean, that's quite reflective. Like, it bounced, that bounces back at me. Like, yeah, I'm very fortunate and crazy stuff has happened. The main thing, I'm just very proud of all the music. I think we never like cut corners. Some people might not like it, but I don't care. It's a passion project and it's a love. And the main thing is, like, the guys. Like, I just love being in a band with all of the other four gentlemen. They're we hang out as friends, aside from the band, and we just love making music together.
Yeah, well, one of the band members, John. I met him on tour. He was doing merchandise for Yashin.
Yeah.
I remember one day, because he's a very muscular lad, shall we say.
Shall we?
Oh, yeah.
It's absolute beefcake. He's got the biggest In Me tattoo on his back, by the way.
This is what I was going to say. On tour with Yashin, we were there one day, and for some reason, he popped the top. He whipped his top off. And I saw his back, and I was like, fucking hell, that's a massive In Me tattoo. And he was like, bro. They are my fucking favorite band ever. And I was like, that's awesome. I was like, I know him. He was like, I fucking love him. He was like, I've seen him loads of times. And now he's in the band.
I've got an interesting story about John. Because he used to follow us about. Like, he was a bit of a stalker fan, almost. And I remember, you know, you get like the tinted windows in the tour bus. I just looked and I could see him just creeping out of a corner. Trying to see if I was about. When we asked him to join the band, it was at rehearsal, because he used to like come on stage and I'd do three songs without guitar, and then I broke my hand. He was like, I know everything, I know all the songs. And, you know, yeah, I come out of A&E all doped up, all painkillers and stuff. And he just played it perfectly. And I was like, well, this is quite good, because I can run around. I don't have to be static to a guitar pedal and a microphone stand. And I can be an entertainer. And when we asked him to join the band, it was at a rehearsal, because he came along just before tour. He cried.
Yes.
Well, of course you fucking would. Of course. Like,
I love that.
Basically, I'm in a band with In Me fans. All of them are In Me fans.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think if it would be a better idea if I was in a band with loads of Blackout fans, because they probably care more about the band than the fucking six idiots who are like, yeah, whatever, no, we've done this for ages now.
Well, I came to see you when Lost Alone was supporting you, and... But I had food poisoning, so I watched about two songs and I couldn't even hold down a sip of water.
Dave, was that food poisoning or were you just listening to our songs?
It was serious food poisoning. Oh, it was God. Badass. It was, my girlfriend at the time just looked at me and went, oh yeah, you are really fucked up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I threw up in a train bin.
Oh, wow.
Because I was so dehydrated, I had to drink some water. And then that was a no-no. So, and then people were just looking at me and I'm like, sorry.
But saying all that, Dave, I mean, just the kind of talking about the change in dynamics for the band, how do you see it now compared to first started? I mean, as you said, so much has changed. You've grown older, but it seems like you're having so much more fun. When I'm seeing these photos and videos of you guys on tour playing shows and just enjoying it a lot more.
Yeah, I think it was too much too young to begin with. Like, you don't get signed up at 19 years old and you don't even know what life's about yet. You haven't really sort of found yourself. But what was interesting on this tour in Leeds, Joe Morgan, who left in 2006, finally came to a show.
Oh.
And he loved it. And now we're the best of friends again. No. So it's lovely. That's quite nice, like reconnecting with old members. Me and Simon, the old drummer, are still very good friends. So there's no like bad blood, which is nice. Simon was like, because he got an opportunity to go and tour doing production, engineering and stuff. And he was like, I just didn't want to let you guys down. I was like, man, you've been in the band 21 years. You've done your time. It's not a prison sentence. And the band's now 27. So we got to be careful. We don't want the band to join the 27 club. But yeah, like, it's crazy. It's like 27 years. And even when the band turned 21, I was like, okay, so the band can legally drink in America.
Yeah. Let's get a band over there now. We can all get pissed together as one.
Oh, I got ID'd recently and I'm 40. And they're like, are you over 18? I was like, yeah. Twice.
Twice. Yeah, twice.
Four.
I'm going to stop saying that. Yes. I got asked for ID the other week. I got asked for ID. Oh, no. For the first time in Merthyr Tesco the other day, I was not asked for ID and I got offended by it. But from now on, I'm going to say, yeah, twice. When they say, excuse me, yeah, are you 18? I'm going to go, yeah, twice over because I'm fucking 39. This is fucking mad, isn't it? It's just, yeah. No, one of the things I wanted to ask was, like you mentioned, being 19 and getting signed. I just remember you being everywhere. Like, you just seemed to be on Kerrang TV and Scuzz. Well, before Scuzz was called Scuzz, the channel, there was a Channel P as well.
And MTV2.
Fuck, how did I forget about that? Yeah, you were fucking all over it all the time. Like, how was that? And how was that leap from being an unsigned band to being fucking everywhere?
I don't know. It feels like a different lifetime ago. I remember me and Joe lived together, the old bassist, and just seeing myself on the telly was pretty mad. And then when it come on in the local pub, that was mad. Like, back then, people bought records, so we had a bit of money. So I just bought everyone drinks. And everyone thought I was the most arrogant, pretentious idiot ever, but
it's mad, isn't it? So you're offering to buy people things and they're like, oh, you fucking prick.
30 apple sours. Not even joking. And we're still on all of the jukeboxes in like most pubs. That's one way to make me leave the pub. Because I can't listen to my old voice. Like, you change your voice as you go through the years. And yeah. I'm slowly starting to warm to the old stuff. I'm mellowing with age.
You better add, with it being the 20th year anniversary, you've got to fucking mellow to it because you're going to
We're playing Takedown Festival in Portsmouth in April. So we've got to learn the whole album again. But it's easy. Like, compared to some of our stuff, it's not as technical. It's just cool, grungy rock. Classic. We've become a nostalgic sort of thing. That's a thing now, isn't it?
Well, what's some of your earliest memories from making that record and kind of getting out there? Because it's such a huge leap at the time. And as Sean mentioned, it kind of seemed that it really put you guys on the map.
We started writing it when we were like 14, 15. So by the time we were 19, 20, That's the thing with the debut album is you've got all these songs. I'm still annoyed about some of the B-sides because they should have been on the album and the record label refused. And these days I'd be like, shut up. We're calling the shots.
Did you have many label disputes?
I was just young, so it's like I was still trying to find myself as a person. Yeah, we did. But we were also very lucky to be on the biggest independent music label in the world. and to be signed up, like, just randomly. I did a backflip. I remember when we got offered a record contract. We did a showcase. This was back in the day. Like, things were completely different back then. And as soon as the managing director left, I just did a backflip. I was so happy.
I love the idea. I love the idea of you never have even attempting a backflip before that moment. But you were so happy that you were just like, I think I can do it, boys. I think today is the day.
Not a chance I could do it now. It would result in a hernia, broken back. I'll probably end up in my ward. I work in Chorburn Orthopedics. So, oh, yeah.
Interesting.
I'd be there.
Nice. How long have you been working there?
A year and a half. I've worked for the NHS for 3 years because obviously COVID kicked in. So I couldn't tour anymore. I couldn't play gigs. So I'm on my third job at the NHS.
Nice. What were you doing originally?
Music. Okay. All right. Medical supplies. I'm a technologist. I deal in making sure all the equipment works and medical supplies.
Yeah.
That's all right. Saving one life, one day at a time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like we've all kind of had our ups and downs and stuff. And
I bet, yeah.
That seems to be the running theme is through everyone we kind of speak to is just sometimes you've just got to take it one day at a time.
Well, this was Gaz. I was like borderline homeless. I was in a really bad state, mentally and addiction and stuff. All of the fun things. And Gaz just said, right, you're coming to live on my sofa. Gaz is a guitarist in me. You're coming to live on my sofa for a few months and I'm going to get you a job at the NHS. And he did. That's a good mate. That's a good mate, that is.
The fucking best, yeah. Well, yeah, we wouldn't be having this conversation without this. So thank you very much, Gaz. And, you know.
Cheers, Gaz.
but going back to Overgrown Eden as well, is there any kind of just memories you have from like that studio or writing those songs or the album cycle?
It was a weird one. Like, that's when I really started to figure out myself in my head and I realized I was a bit damaged mentally. And it wasn't right. Like, I guess some people resonate with the album, so maybe that was a good thing. But it was really weird. Like, it was with a producer called Colin Richardson, who did Bullet for My Valentine's debut album, Fight Star's debut album. His ex-wife was our A&R, which is Artists and Repertoire, and she came to live in-house as well. So it was a strange time. And I think me and Joe, we were coming to blockerheads a little bit. But these days, we probably make a mint album like together, but I don't know, it was a tough time. Just I was too young to be there. I should have gone to university or something.
Do you know what, I've thought about this, I've considered this myself. Like, I sometimes look at what I have or whatever and I'm like, if I had just listened in school and carried on doing that, where would I be now? But when you think about it, Dave, think of the amazing memories that we've got from touring and playing and just meeting
people.
Amazing,
mate. Lived in Los Angeles for a while.
What? I didn't know that. When was this?
For White Butterfly, our second album. Japan, you know, every country in Europe. Toronto, 8 times.
Yeah, how long were you living in LA?
Only, that's why the song's called 7 Weeks. the first song on White Butterfly is called Seven Weeks, and yeah, we spent 7 weeks out there in a bar and boulevard in Hollywood, and I had this massive flat, I had a personal trainer and a driver.
Wow.
And a swimming pool. And we'd go to Venice Beach every weekend. Now, those were the days.
7 weeks, so good, it deserved the song. But You mentioned being so young in this position and everything. I mean, in the years since, is there anything you've really learned about yourself through writing and making this music and touring and everything, because as you said, really, you started to understand yourself a little bit more writing these lyrics. Is there anything that kind of pops up for you where it was kind of like a reflective mirror or anything?
Yeah, I could say like the first album is just it's like a spontaneous outburst, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it does subconsciously, I guess. But these days I focus my purpose of definition in terms of lyric a little bit more. Like I'm doing a new solo album at the moment, and every song's just about a person, but also having, it's called Triptych. So every song has like three meanings. Much more pretentious. Yes. For about 10 years, I really, really hated Overgrown Eden, sort of White Butterfly era, because I hadn't quite figured out what I was doing yet. But now I've sort of mellowed and found my zen a little bit more. I like it. I like singing it. And it's also about the crowd's reaction.
Yeah, because that's just really interesting to hear, because those are two albums that a lot of indie fans really resonate with.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a painter looking at a painting they made 20 years ago. They're going to go, oh, I wish I could have fix that and done that better and blah, blah, blah. you learn as you go along, but now I've sort of mellowed out with that. I'm fine with it.
Was there a turning point in particular where you kind of realized, actually,
that last couple of years, I think,
yeah,
just suddenly went, shut up. It's fine. It's all gone wrong. It's all gone wrong. It's like, I wouldn't sing that today, but I wouldn't be making music with the boys I'm with today if I hadn't have written those songs. So it's also feedback from the audience. Like, you don't want to play for yourself. You don't want to just play songs that you're really proud of. You have to sort of make sure it's a connection.
Yeah. That crowd's reaction and kind of adrenaline from being on stage is so addictive. We've talked about this with many people before, is that it can be a positive and a negative, but it can get you through a lot of hard times as well as a musician, knowing that you can go out there, have a good show, and people are just screaming all these words back at you.
It's great, because like sometimes I don't have to sing it. I just just put the microphone to them and they sing it. And now, We did a thing, like we were doing the tour production rehearsals, and only Gaz was doing a little bit of backing vocals, not loads. And then all of a sudden, all three of them, John, Gaz, and Mike, the new bassist, suddenly wanted a microphone. And it just changed everything. It was amazing. Like, they all just brought it. And John sounds like Joe. and Mike sounds like Def Cab for Cutie. Gaz sounds like grungy Curb Dog Nirvana-y sort of vibes. And then you got whiny me. And somehow it just elevated everything quite a lot. Tom can't sing for Toffee. But he's an incredible drummer. And he's an airline pilot. He's a snowboarding instructor. So,
Have you ever asked him if he's seen a UFO while being an airplane driver? Pilot, they call. Sorry, I turned five.
Whilst he's just driving it about.
Just driving a plane. Hello, guys. Yeah, I'm driving a plane. Yeah. No.
No.
He hasn't, or you've never asked?
I'll ask him.
Please ask him, because Matthew, who's in the blackout, he's also an airplane pilot.
Oh wow!
And I've asked him. Yeah, he flies for Ryanair. So if you've got to go anywhere on Ryanair,
He's Virgin Atlantic, no Ryanair.
Oh, posh, nice, posh. Fucking hell, Jesus Christ!
Yeah, it's hard to. It's when we book tours, it's really tough. to get the time off for everyone, because everyone's got different jobs. And
does he live in the UK? Because our one was living in our pilot, our driver, our plane driver.
They never fly
in,
you anywhere, though, do they?
I've never been fucking anywhere.
He lives
anywhere
in Bristol, and three of us live in Brighton. Me, Gaz, and Mike. And Jono lives in Scouseland.
One thing I wanted to bring up, you mentioned the kind of nostalgia trip a lot of people are having for those early 2000s like years in alternative music and everything. And obviously in me, we're part of a really giant scene along with the likes of 100 Reasons, House for Heroes, Fuel for a Friend. It influenced so many people from the next generation and making music today. And I was just wondering, like, if you could talk a little bit about that time and everyone coming up. The music industry was so different back then, but it seemed like there was a huge community and friendship between all these bands, and that you were just all thriving at one time.
It was very exciting. For me personally, I was just, like I say, too much too young. I would have behaved differently now, but it was a rocking time, man. 100 Reasons, we toured with them, and Hell is Heroes, toured with Soil, Puddle of Mud, Deftones. Crazy stories. I met, what are they called? A Newfound Glory. I met those and went, you're happy metal.
Do you know what? I'm going to start from today. I'm writing it down. Pop punk is now called happy metal. Yes, happy metal.
Ian, what's his face from Stone Roses?
Ian Brown.
Yeah. Geezer from Weezer.
Nice. Where did you meet Ian Brown?
That was just like in the catering area at Summer Sonic Festival in Japan. Serge Tankian, he chose us personally, like just from MySpace. Just gave us all a big hug, and then we did a European tour and a UK tour with him. Oh, Corey Taylor, that was a brilliant one. Corey Taylor did a Kerrang review of Firefly, a single from Overgrown Eden, and gave it like minus 5Ks. And then a fan tweeted him like a few years back, and he apologized. No. And he said he'd buy me a beer.
Nice.
Nice.
I want the Slipknot support slot. I was happy that him and Joey Jordison completely dissed us. I was like, well, I wouldn't have it any other way. They're not going to like it, are they? And we're not everyone's cup of tea. I get it. I don't care. I've got actual problems.
Oh, fucking hell.
I've got existential dread. I don't care if someone this is my band. We could crack on. All right, well, I went to John Bonham's house.
What?
Yeah, there's two jacuzzis, and there was all the platinum silver discs and everything. And that was when we went out in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is mental. Like you just see Hollywood stars just walking about in the supermarket. In fact, Juliet Lewis from, I don't know what her band's called. I've forgotten.
The Licks.
Yeah. Juliet Lewis and the Licks. Yeah. She just come up to me and gave me a flyer in the Viper Rooms, Johnny Depp's club. And I was like, you're from bloody
Natural Born Killers. Yeah.
Yeah. And, Cape Fear.
Yeah. Yeah. Mad. And she's giving you a flyer. Like, that's fucking mad. Yeah. Imagine if film stars had to go around promoting their films like we had to promote our bands back in the day with like, imagine you took that off Juliet Lewis and you had a look at it and you were like, Natural Born Killers. Oh, check this out.
I took the flyer. And then we were at another club. I can't remember what it was called. I think it's called The Ocean. And Matt Sorum and Duff McKagan were there, I think. Matt Sorum from Guns N' Roses. And Billy Joel. Billy Joe from Green Day. And then I used to go to this club every week whilst I was out in Los Angeles. The Rain, maybe. I can't remember what it's called. Sunset something. I don't know. And they were called Metal School. And then they became Steel Panther. So I used to go watch them every week, and there was like members of Creed there, and I just remember being in a supermarket and Deanne Triplehorn, she's from Basic Instinct and Waterworld, she was just doing her shopping. Oh, the best one, I got to do the best one. Bruce Dickinson used to do BBC6 music. He interviewed us, so that was it. I didn't care from then on. I've achieved life. And then I read an interview in some foreign magazine, and it was him being asked about bands. And he said, oh, IMI are the best band to look out for at the moment.
Wow.
And I was like, doesn't matter now. Doesn't matter.
This is why I love Dave, because you're just finding yourself in so many extreme situations. And I feel that throughout the years, that has just been a running theme.
Yeah. Now that I've done this interview, I'm like, it's been a bit of a ride.
Yeah.
But I met Bruce Dickinson before we got signed, and Janet Gerst was there, the guitarist, and Nico McBrain. I didn't know what to say, so I went up to him and said, I like your earplugs.
Yes, I love it. I love hearing people's stories about when they meet their heroes and they haven't, like, I met Brian May at Reading one year, and he came over and he was like, hi, I'm Brian. And I went, and then he moved away and I went, oh, I forgot how to say my name to a grown man. Absolutely brilliant. Well, I'm
sure. I met Sean Smith once. It was
it was dreadful. He's a fucking long-headed wanker, I heard. Yeah.
But Bruce humoured me. I met the guitarist from Disturbed and I said, you're really tall. That was a bit rubbish. Hung out with Head PE.
Nice, big fan of
Jared. Jared, the rapper guy, had like two whiskeys.
Yeah, we once missed the first date of a Fightstar tour to support Head PE in Cardiff.
Right,
and about 12 people turned up, and we were gutted because I think the Fightstar tour was sold out.
But did they play Waiting to Die? I love that song.
I drink too much. I'm a big fan of the singles. They had a song called Blackout as well. No relation.
Yeah, that's a good one. They were on the same label as us, I think. Music for Nation.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, speaking of all these just mad experiences, I do believe that there's been a few incidences over the years, Dave, where you've been a part of other people's music that isn't really advertised. Like, am I right in saying you're on gang vocals for a Bring Me the Horizon song? You've done a few features for other things.
Vocals, yeah, because I'm friends with Jordan. Well, loosely friends. He's probably hard to connect with now because they're mega famous. But I did 6 songs on whatever it's called. What's it called?
That's the spirit.
Yeah, sorry, I was thinking Happy for some reason. I love that band, by the way, so sorry for forgetting that.
I'm sure there must be plenty of stuff like that over the years as well where you've just popped up.
Yeah, Charlie from Fightstar and Busted, we did a Silverchair collaboration. Literally, we were wasted in Brighton, and he went, we'll do Anorexia Love, or whatever it's called, Anna's song. And he went, yeah, in Manchester, we'll do a duet. And then an hour before, literally at Manchester Academy too, he went, come on in. And we did it. And it's on YouTube and it's a pretty big one.
Nice. I'll check it out. Yeah, I didn't know her. That's awesome.
Well, Dave, I appreciate you sharing all these stories through memory lane and everything. And it's great to hear that Inmia are enjoying all these gigs more than ever. But as we start to wind down here, and there's a few things I would like to talk about. And you mentioned there that you've made a new solo album. You put in the kind of final details on that and everything. I believe you kind of accidentally wrote it in many ways. Can you just tell us about that and the plan for it going forward?
Well, it's just voice memos.
Yeah?
I've whittled it down to about 16 songs now. It's on my phone here.
How many did you have?
Oh, about 21. But we've also got a new Inmia album, which is, we've retitled. It was called Demons. But the solo album is Triptych, as I said, and it's right on the nose sort of stuff. Heart on the sleeve. Like there's a song, I Lost My Dad, in November 2021.
Sorry, man.
And that's all right. He just forgot to wake up. And the song's called I Really Miss My Dad. So, like, and there's a song about my uncle that passed away called Dear Uncle Steve. So it's a very, it's not a cryptic album. any measure.
But that's very meaningful, though.
Must have been nice to kind of pick people to write songs about like that as well. And
that's what the theme was eventually, was I'm going to sing about people. But Demons is about just my personal demons. And I think it's our best work. But I'm biased.
So there's just a lot of new music to expect throughout the rest of 2023 then?
Yeah, hopefully this year. And there's also going to go a bit full circle with the title of the next album.
What else can we expect from the rest of the year, Dave? What's the plans now, 2023? New music, but what else can people check out?
Yet to discuss with our booking agent, but would like to do Over Grand Eden. We're also doing it at Takedown Festival, but it'd be nice to do like 5 or 6 dates around that, and then album. We're just trying to figure out how to record the drums. We were going to go like digital, because then you don't have to bleed down the microphone. Then maybe in October, November, do a tour for the new album. And other than that, I'm just booking solo shows and just playing open mics.
How's that been? How's open mics, that experience been?
Fun. I did one last night. I went downstairs. Bunch of people. I felt very young for once. I just sang Radiohead Creep.
I'd love to sit there, right, and watch those people watching you for the first time, because especially the open mic nights, what I've noticed from like some open mic nights, you just get people who just, they're not great, shall we say. And then if I was sitting in a pub and fucking Dave McPherson turned up with a guitar and started fucking singing, I'd be over the fucking moon, because your voice is fucking delicious. I love it.
Thank you, Sean.
I fucking love it. No. I'm not. Yeah, that's a lie from Dave. We'll cut that out from Dave.
It was not a lie.
But yeah, I just love to see old people. Yeah, I just love to have seen that people discovering you.
You're very modest and hard on yourself.
Ah, no, I've just heard it, Dave. I've listened back to the songs. I know how I sang.
In fact, you just reminded me that there's one on tonight.
There we are.
In Brighton.
Get down here and fucking treat those people with your voice, please.
Yeah, but my problem is lyrics.
Make them up on the spot. Sorry, do it.
I just get my phone up and then scroll. I have to scroll after the second chorus because I can't remember what the hell is going on.
Well, absolutely loved this, Dave. Thank you so much for taking the time. Before we leave, is there anything else you'd like to let the listeners know about, or just leave us with a message about anything.
Thanks for all the support, and Takedown Festival in Portsmouth in April. Keep an eye out for tours, solo album, IMI album. I've probably forgotten something.
That's all right. What are your socials?
Dave McPherson in me, I think. Dave McPherson solo, I think, is my Facebook solo page. In me official on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Yeah.
Awesome. Nice. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for giving us your time, Dave.
No, thank you.
And honestly now, genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for the music over the years. Fucking, you are a legend in our scene.
Mate.
And, I want you to know it, because there are not enough people, I strongly believe not enough people now are getting the flowers they fucking deserve. And you are a fucking legend. You are a legend. You opened so many doors for younger bands.
Like, I didn't realize you'd had S Cup 7, Steve Vai, dude from Bastard.
Yeah. All the big we've had all the big in me influences. We've had S Club 7. We've had Matt Bros. Goss from Bros. Yeah. We've had him on.
Yeah, I couldn't even because there was like 158 episodes. I did my research. You had my mate, my boy Stephen Battelle.
Big love to Steve Battelle.
I'm humbled to be part of the pack.
Well, you shouldn't be, because again, you're a legend. You deserve your fucking praise.
Appreciate it. Nice one, guys. Bye.
You're listening to Sammy Podcast!
Yes! Woo! I couldn't hear you, then. That was weird. Yeah, normally you hear us at the same time. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, we've got a pitch on arm. I couldn't hear it. You could have said any. You could have just called, Chones a Wanker.
Hey!
I won't find out now until the episode's out on Friday.
No, well, exactly.
Bollocks. But yes, thank you very much again to Dave McPherson from In Me for coming on. There's loads more questions. I'd like to deep delve into a lot of those stories that he started telling us. I reckon you could probably make a show just off some of the stuff he's done and people he's met. So yes, we'll hopefully do one of these in the flesh. And as I said at the end of the interview or chat we had, thank you to Dave for the music over the years. He's been an inspiration, and seeing him do well, you're a star.
Yes, it's just great to hear all these stories and have a laugh with someone who's had such an effect on a lot of people in the industry, whether he likes it or not. It doesn't seem like the being praised, but you know, we're giving you your flowers here, Dave. But it's just nice to get to have those stories. So we appreciate him taking the time. A reminder, as you said, a lot of new music coming in 2023, 2024. So I'm looking forward to that. And a shout out to two releases of his I wanted to just bring up. Jumpstart Hope was the last In Me album that came up back in 2020. So go and check that out if you haven't. And if you're not familiar with his solo music, one track in particular I think you all need to listen to is Before I Had You. Great song, amazing single. I used to play it a lot back in my radio days on the show. So overall, top musician.
Good egg as well. Lovely chap. Plenty of time for him. And yes, mad that I was on tour with John O'Keefe, who's the guitarist now for In Me, basically on the tour before he became In Me's guitarist. But he was like, it was amazing to see him go from, I fucking love this band, and now he's fucking in them. So kids, let that be a lesson to you. If you stalk your favourite band enough, well, basically it's what I did. I literally stalked Lost Prophets until they accepted me as a friend. So if you stalk your favourite band enough, if you've got any musical talent, unlike me, you might end up in your favourite band. But if not, at the very least, like me, you could be, you know, best friends with some of them.
Well,
so,
it happened to Jamie Mateus and Bullet for My Valentine as well. You go back and listen to the episode we recorded with him, and he tells you that story. So weird, weird way how it all works out for people in the end. But another great chat. I enjoyed this very, very much. But before we wrap things up, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, if you want more and more of them, to keep on happening throughout the year, I hope you do, because this is our job and we need all the support we can. Check out patreon.com/happening because we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on there throughout the year. And as I keep mentioning, everyone in the community are our favorite humans and they just cheer us up on the daily and do amazing, amazing stuff. So patreon.com/happening for that. If you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we do thank. But as always, Sean's going to give a hoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin Podcast Patreon community.
Yes, before I get into these names, I just want to thank the Patreon community for their support over the last couple of weeks. You might not know, my father passed away about a month ago now, and we buried him this week. We didn't bury him, we cremated him. So that's different, isn't it? Thank you very much to the community for the support over the last month and a bit. You've been absolutely tip-top, and I love you very much. Thank you very much, Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway, Janelle Castan, Paul Hirschfield, Tony Michael, Dilly Grimwood, Kelly Irwin, Scarlett Charlton, Natasha Morris, Emma Barber, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, Sammy G, Kat Besson, Dana Lasnova, happy birthday for the other day, Dana, Jenny Robinson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Stuart McNaught, M. Evans Roberts, Stephen Aston, Caroline Robinson, Kate Paddock, Louis Cook, Danny Eaton, Carl Pendlebury, Martina McManus, Jenny Munster, James McNaught, Kelly Cannon, Emily Perry, Jason Aredia, John and Emma. Again, happy birthday for Emma for the other day. Craig, the boys are back in town, Aris. Really needs an update on that name. Thank you very much. Kalila Keane, Ollie Amesbury, Adam King of the Goss Parslow, Josh, I accidentally drank holy water with laxatives. I will start a religious movement anytime now. Crisp. Bum Joe. Thank you very much, Alice Wood, Reese Bowring, Kate Stevenson, Kyle David Smith, and last by no means, Connor Lewins and family. Thank you guys very, very much. And as I said, thank you very much to everybody who's reached out to me over the last couple of weeks. It's meant the world.
Yes, we appreciate every single person there. And thank you for understanding a lot of behind the scenes stuff going on. But this has been another great episode. I've enjoyed it very, very much. If you have any suggestions or a wish list, maybe, of who you'd like to hear on the podcast throughout 2023, please head over to our social media pages at SapninPod on Twitter and Instagram. Give them a follow and then send us a message of who you think and we can try in.
Yeah, this year we are having Daryl Palumbo. Definitely. I'm going to fucking make it happen.
Please do, because we wanted just that so one you for
can
ages.
All, yeah. Everybody listening to this, then can you and me just fucking turn into a 14-year-old teenage girl and be like, ah,
no.
What about this rare head automatica B-side that only I got because I hacked a computer that added on? Oh, any of this fuck, yeah. Yeah, I think,
that's the
dream.
Do
you know what? I'm putting it out there into the world. This is the year we have Daryl Palumbo, Fred Durst.
Oh, he's going big.
He's and Mike it. Patton.
Wow.
Wow.
I better start that's getting too big. Busy on emails then, because I've sorted some.
Do you know what? Do you know what, Mug? Let them come to us.
Oh,
I think all three of them are going to email me the same week wanting to come on.
It's all one email. They're all CC'd in everything. It's all...
yeah. Daryl, Fred, and Mike at vocalists.com.
Imagine that.
But try that.
We've got a lot of exciting things in the works, and we're just looking forward to have more stories and then share everything. So thanks for listening, getting this far, and all the support. We'll be back next week and every Friday with a special guest and some laughs and madness in between. So nice one.
Yes. We out this bitch. I mean,
Sapnin!
Good end.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.